TJ, thanks for the time as always, dear Lord. What are y'all doing getting rid of an Alabama kid in Mark Barron?
Well, the only thing I can tell you with any certainty is this team is struggling, Buccaneers now in the NFL, to find some kind of identity and get things turned around, Chris. And it has not worked to this point. Yesterday was the trading deadline day in the National Football League, and there were apparently several teams interested in the former Alabama safety, All-American, and number one pick, Mark Barron, and the Bucs pulled a trigger on a trade with the St. Louis Rams and end up getting two picks in return for Mark Barron there yesterday. It was a bit of a surprise that they would deal him, and I know there's a lot of clamoring down here that you didn't get enough for him. This is a guy that you drafted seventh overall 2 years ago in the draft, the 2012 draft, three drafts ago. So he's moving on to a new situation, and perhaps will fit in better there and make a bigger impact. It's a shame that he didn't make a bigger impact here, because coming out of Bama, as you guys know and your fan base knows, he was a tremendous hitting safety on a national championship Alabama team. It never materialized here in Tampa Bay for whatever reason.
Look, I'm not going to pretend to follow this thing anywhere near as close as you. That's the reason I have people like you on the show to answer these questions for me, because I'm a casual observer of it. But injuries, I know, hurt him at times in his Alabama career. How healthy was he in Tampa? How much of an impact did that play?
He was hurt some. He had an ankle injury, I believe it was, for part of last year that had him out of a couple of games. But I don't think it was so much injury and health related as it was he was just not able to make the same impact in the NFL, at least in this situation. And remember, the Bucs have a brand new coaching staff with Lovie Smith, who's a veteran coach who had been with the Chicago Bears for 9 years before coming here, running a totally different defense than what Mark has run the first 2 years in the NFL. And they obviously felt as though, A, it may not be meshing to what we need, and B, if there are suitors, if there are teams willing to trade for him, and we can get something in return, and we have a season that has started 1-6, and we're looking to shake things up anyway, then this is how the world of pro sports works. There are a lot of Buccaneer fans, I can guarantee you, that are right now wondering, what is the right mix here? How can they solve it? Because the Bucs have the worst defense right now, Chris, in the NFL, giving up points. And I'm not saying that that all of it is going to hinge on getting rid of one player and replacing another player in there, but a lot of people are looking symbolically and saying, man, if the guy who was picked number seven overall in 2012 can't fit in on what you're doing defensively, then who does fit in, and how do you get it fixed?
TJ Reeves joining us, Tampa Bay Bucs Radio Network. He's their sideline guy. He also works with Fox Sports Radio, also hosts a blog each week and podcast, SEC14.com. Did I get it right?
Yes, sir. You did get that right.
All sorts of great insight each
week.
We
have lots of ammunition this week, do
yes,
we not? On a lot
do.
Of fun.
All right, well, let's go there right now. The major concern by myself and so many others that the committee, not necessarily that they would get the right teams in there, but would they agree that the best teams do come from the Southeastern Conference? And clearly, with what, four of the top six, they do feel that way. So what's your take on the first ranking?
How concerned were you on the initial reveal here that the SEC wasn't going to get its just due? Maybe not specifically Alabama, but I didn't really doubt that they were going to put two or three teams in the four and have three or four teams, and it turns out to be four, in the top five or six, and they have four in the top six. So I wasn't that concerned with that. Were you really thinking that they were going to slight the SEC somewhat and include a Big 12 team or a Big 10 team or Notre Dame?
It was the fear of the unknown. That's where it is, because we say what you want to, and especially from the Alabama perspective, the BCS worked extremely well for the Crimson Tide, okay? And you can talk about within your league all you want, but really everybody just cares about their own program. That's fine. That's the way it should be. But not knowing with great certainty, and I'll tell you, another bit of uneasiness came 2 weeks ago when you found out Archie Manning was leaving, because not that I thought he was necessarily a pro-Alabama guy, but he was a guy who could stay in the room, who would be somebody that everybody believed in and whose opinion would carry tremendous weight. And so losing somebody like that from the committee, right, I thought was a major blow. I'm glad to see that at least with this group at this point, they've got a group of at least six that I'm quite comfortable with to date.
Well, and they have been consistent, and this may be, you know, an evolving situation, but they have been consistent with talking about two things: strength of schedule and quality of wins against that schedule. Who did you beat out of that schedule? Kind of going back to the NCAA Men's Selection Committee for the basketball tournament. And when you look overall at the SEC, with Alabama beating West Virginia on a neutral field week one, as all the Tide fans know, that win's looking better and better each week with what West Virginia's doing in the Big 12. You look the first weekend, Ole Miss, same thing, beating Boise State. Looks better and better because Boise State's now 5-2, by the way, and they had one last week to make them 6-2. You look at LSU beating Wisconsin, who turns out to be pretty good. Not great, but I believe they're 5-2 and contending in the Big Ten. And you go on and on down the list with Georgia beating Clemson, who turns out to be pretty good. Now you go to the Big 12, for example. Yes, they have Kansas State and TCU and Baylor at the top of it, but out of those three teams, and by the way, we left out Auburn beating Kansas State at Kansas State to add to that mix. Out of those three teams, Kansas State, Baylor, TCU, show me a quality out-of-league win by any of them. I'll help you. There's not one. When you go to the Big Ten and you see Michigan State and Ohio State and Wisconsin and Penn State up at the top of the Big Ten, show me again a quality out-of-conference win for any of them. I'll help you again.
Yeah.
There's not one. So that's where the committee, I think, heeded their own advice, their own criteria, which is not only playing tough teams. Yes, Michigan State played a tough Oregon team at Oregon. How'd they do? They lost. They lost in the game. So that's a good test, but you didn't win the game. So that's the reason why I believe you don't see a Big Ten team there. And isn't this thing going to be fascinating real quick, Chris? If we get to the end, to the finish line, and there is no Big Ten team, there is no Big 12 team, there possibly is no Pac-12 team, depending on how much they lose, you will have screaming from all regions of the country outside of the South if that's the case. But again, we're laying the groundwork here that the SEC played and beat a lot of top teams back in September.
I agree. And yet, at the same time, that is a committee that would be made up of, what, two Big Ten athletic directors?
Tom or Osborne, former ADs, right.
Tom Osborne and Barry Alvarez.
That's right.
Pat Hayden from the Pac-12. Condoleezza Rice, who may as well be Pac-12. She's a member of the Stanford faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Who am I leaving out? I mean, that alone is a third of your committee right there. So if they wanted to go with a block vote, make sure they got one from the two, they could.
Right, but alliance, kind of like Survivor, where they go with the alliance.
Exactly.
Well,
my point is, those leagues can't complain. They've got a pretty strong representation.
Well, and let's be honest here. All right, part of this just into the newsroom, breaking news. Part of this is money motivated. All right, they want the West to watch the playoff. They want the Upper Midwest to watch the playoff. They want the Northeast to watch the playoff. So that is going to be part of this, with the consideration, as much as they may stick to their guns on, you know, if it's three SEC teams or if it's three Big 12 teams, we'll take those three teams, they're going to take a long look at the other leagues and say, is there a viable candidate out of these other leagues that we can go to, especially if everybody has one loss? I mean, Chris, if Oregon gets to the end of the finish line here with that win over Michigan State and they have only the one loss to Arizona, and it turns out, let's say hypothetically, that Arizona continues to win, and that doesn't look like that bad of a loss at the end of the year. Arizona's got 8, 9, 10 wins, let's say, at the end of the year. Plus, they have a championship game in the Pac-12, and Oregon might meet them in a rematch and might beat them in a rematch. If Oregon gets to the Pac-12 title game, wins it, and they're 12-1, they've got a Heisman Trophy candidate. They are the premier program on the West Coast. It is going to be very tough to leave them out. Just file that away for 2 months from now. Very tough to leave them out.
Would be indeed. Talking to TJ Reeves, Fox Sports Radio, SEC14.com, also sideline guy for the Tampa Bay Bucks Network. Our guest all appear courtesy of the Shock Top Hotline presented by Green Beverage on SEC14.com. Big bold letters. Reeves, NCAA, Gurley, and the donkey. Sounds like something we can't talk about until after 10 o'clock on non-satellite radio.
With the headline there.
However.
I will tell you that the donkey is pin the tail on the donkey. Remember the game?
Enough.
Put the blindfold on, spin around, and try to figure it out?
I just wanted to be safe before we sent people to the website and make sure it wasn't
exactly
a pay deal. Okay.
I don't know about you. And look, all these situations, when you have a partisan fan base, the Georgia fans have to be livid right now.
I can tell you. Let me give you this one real quick. College Football Playoff tweets out a little while ago. Three-time Grammy Award-winning Zach Brown will headline the championship tailgate at the inaugural College Football Playoff National Championship. There's only one direct reply to it. I checked it out. Shockingly, it's a Georgia fan. They say, why them? They suck just like the first set of rankings. And the NCAA. There's your Georgia response right there.
Georgia is not happy about this, Chris. How about the young man has to do 40 hours of community service?
Wow.
In addition to the penalties of sitting out for the games. Isn't that usually reserved for the courts and our judicial system and the police?
Yep.
And oh, wow. So, and let's just draw a quick comparison here. You know that I'm in the state of Florida. Georgia was proactive and came forward to the NCAA and said, here's what we know, and we are going to sit him down. They essentially led the NCAA right to the smoking gun, plural, and the investigation. Contrast that with Florida State, that's got Jameis Winston, who's got a scandal every week. Jameis might as well be part of a soap opera, the Young and the Restless, or General Hospital, or whatever. He's got a scandal every week, and oh, by the way, there is a memorabilia scandal that's not gotten a tremendous amount of attention with all the other problems that are going on, where, again, there's allegations that he was signing stuff everywhere. And, Chris, you have to be a reasonable person, and if there are thousands of items, and there's apparently a couple of thousand items of Jameis Winston's that all have his signature in virtually the same place on the jersey, on the photo, you have to be naive. You have to be blind, deaf, whatever, to not figure out he got compensated somehow for that or was promised to be compensated somehow for that. My point is, Florida State isn't proactively suspending Jameis Winston while they're playing Notre Dame 2 weeks ago, while they're playing Louisville tomorrow night in what is arguably their toughest game remaining on the rest of their schedule, say for maybe their championship game. They're not being proactive in suspending him. That's what Georgia did, and now Georgia watches the NCAA tack two more games on instead of it being a two-game suspension. Meanwhile, Jameis Winston continues to play. I think it's just a fascinating contrast under similar circumstances where Georgia, the one difference is Georgia has evidence and had evidence of somebody coming forward saying, I paid him. Here's the proof. At that point, they did the right thing, Chris.
Yeah.
They turned it into the NCAA, did the right thing, and sat him down themselves. Didn't wait for the NCAA to rule. They did it themselves. So it is kind of pin the tail on the donkey with the NCAA.
At least that is probably the nicest way you can put it with the NCAA. SEC14.com is the website. TJ Reeves, you hear him on Fox Sports Radio. Give me the weekend lineup for you.
I will be on Saturday nights nationally starting at 9 p.m. Central Time, and we obviously will be talking about all the games going on, including that Auburn-Ole Miss game that's going on Saturday night and all the other exciting action that's going to be happening from this weekend, not only in the SEC, but all of college football. It's the best college football recap show you can find. 4 hours worth from 9 p.m. to 1 a.m. every Saturday night.